As we look at the world around us today, it becomes very evident that we don't see the Bible alike, because there are hundreds upon hundreds of different teachers teaching different things in various different places all over the world. We might ask the question, why? And I suppose that to many this is an unsolved mystery, and that the answer would be different for different people, depending on their motives, depending on their backgrounds, depending on many, many variables in the lives of various individuals. I believe the reason why some today are rejecting the teaching of the New Testament are the same reasons that resulted in the crucifixion of our Lord by the righteous people, and I use that term righteous in quotation mark, by the righteous people of the Lord's day. These people who crucified our Lord were very religious. They were teachers of the law, people who supposedly knew the law. One occasion Jesus asked them a question regarding that. The things that they were teaching were not according to Old Testament scriptures. And Jesus asked them regarding why they made void the law of Moses to keep their own tradition. And so there was a great deal of division in the religious world, even though these people were very, at least for the most part, were very religious. We understand that the Romans, the ones who were actually the ones who nailed Jesus to the cross at the insistence of the Jews, they were idol worshippers. But the Jews supposedly were worshippers of the true God, but they rejected our Lord. We understand from Scripture that there is one body, there's one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, involved of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all, according to Ephesians 4, verse 4 through verse 6. As Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, he said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. You notice in this context, Jesus prayed that they would be one, just as he and the Father are one. That's perfect unity. In fact, verse 23 said that they may be made perfect in one, or complete in one. Total and complete unity. That's what our Lord prayed for his followers. And as Paul wrote to the church of Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10 beginning, he said, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, the same judgment. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am Apollos, and I am Cephas, and I am Christ. And so then Paul asked them a question. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? It's obvious from what our Lord prayed in John chapter 17 and what Paul pleaded for in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, that the Lord wants us all to be united, to understand the Bible. And if we understand the Bible at all, then we must, of necessity, understand it alike, because it doesn't teach differing doctrines. Peter made the observation that no prophecy of old time came by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Scriptures did not come from the product, or not the product, of man's own man. They're the product of divine inspiration. Paul said to Timothy, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. It's imperative then that we understand the need to understand the Bible in the same way, to understand it alike. As we think about this question regarding why we do not see the Bible alike, I want to first of all talk to you about the fact that the Bible indeed can be understood. A lot of people have the idea that you can't understand the Bible, that it's not a book that can be understood. But the Bible itself claims that it can be understood. Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 17, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. And notice the terms Jesus used there. If any man, and don't leave anyone out, man is used in the generic sense in regard to all humankind. If any man will, that means determines, decides in their own heart and mind to do his will. That's the will of God. What does he say they can do? They can know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. You remember Jesus, John chapter 8, beginning verse 31, Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. The word if, we understand, suggests a condition. If you continue in my word. Now how can you continue in his word if you can't understand it? And then in verse 32 he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The Bible, in fact, is revealed that we might know. Paul would write to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him. Paul begins with an obvious conclusion there. Well, Jack can't tell what I'm thinking, and I can't tell what he's thinking. I don't know your will unless you reveal it to me. You don't know my will unless I reveal it to you. That's what Paul said. What man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him. Even so, same way now, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Only the Spirit of God knows what God thinks. Now notice verse 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We have received the Spirit which is of God. Why? So we can know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Paul said the things were revealed to them by the Spirit were so that we can know. God's Spirit revealed unto us God's will so that we can know. And so the Bible claims that it can be understood. Not only does the Bible claim it can be understood, God's justice demands that the Bible can be understood. We understand that obedience to His will is necessary. It's compulsory in order that we have salvation. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And Jesus goes on to say, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and thy name have cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works? Then while I profess to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you that work iniquity. Iniquity simply means lawlessness, or working contrary to law. In order to have salvation, we have to do the will of the Father. That's according to the will of God. If we don't, we're working contrary to the will of God. In John chapter 12, verse 48, Jesus said, he that objecteth men receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. The words that are written by inspired men is that which will judge us in the last day. So if we cannot understand the Bible, then God is unjust. He's going to judge us by something that we can't understand. We can't know what it says. If we can't know what it says, we can't put it into practice. That's the standard by which we're going to be judged. In fact, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning verse 7, Paul says, you are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his many angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who's he going to take vengeance on? Those who do not obey the gospel of Christ. Now, how can I obey the gospel if I can't know, I can't understand the gospel? This illustrates to us very vividly that God is unjust. If he gave us something that we must obey, and yet we can't understand it. As he goes on, he said, who shall be punished with everlasting fire from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power? Those who do not obey the gospel are going to be destroyed. Well, God would just be completely unfair and unjust to give somebody a standard by which they're going to be judged and them not be able to understand it. You remember what it said in Acts chapter 10 and verse 34, when Peter was preaching to the household of Cornelius, he said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of person, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. I have to be able to understand the word of God. Now, I really realize that we may not completely and totally understand everything that's revealed in the Bible. In fact, Peter said concerning Paul that he wrote some things that are hard to understand. There's some things in the Bible that are very difficult. They're hard to understand. But what we need to know regarding our salvation, we can indeed understand that. While I was in high school, I studied algebra, and then I studied geometry. If I had been given a test on calculus, I failed it, because I didn't know anything about calculus. You see, the same principle is true. If God's going to test us on something we can't understand, we're going to fail. Peter didn't say the things that Paul said we can't understand, but they're hard to understand. Calculus can't be understood. My daughter understood it. She took it in college and tutored it while she was taking it. I don't know if she still understands it or not, but she did then. It's not that we can't. It's a matter that sometime we have to dig a little deeper and study a little harder, read longer, and meditate upon it regularly in order to be able to understand. But if we could not, then God would be unjust in giving us something that we must render obedience to that we cannot understand. I'll give you one more reason. I believe God's power assures us that the Bible can be understood. Remember, Paul said in Romans 1 verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God of salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as written, the just by faith shall live. Faith in what? Faith in the word of God. How does faith come? Romans 10, 17 says it comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It takes spending time with God's word, God's power to save. If this is God's power to save, and we cannot understand it, how in the world can we be saved? Let me suggest something to you, a question. If God had the power to reveal the Bible, which we noted in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, knowing this, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. If the Bible is God's power to save, and God had the power to reveal the Bible, could he not make it comprehensible? He had the power to reveal it. Did he not have the power to reveal it in a form where it could be understood? And if he had the power to reveal it in a form that it could be understood, do you not also have the power to preserve it? You see, the question arises, at what point in time did God's power become so weak and so ineffective that we have to be left to a garbled understanding of his will? Are you going to say that God's power is not sufficient to preserve his will in the form that we can read it and we can understand it? I'm not going to take that position. I believe he had the power to reveal it. He had the power to make it comprehensible. He had the power to make it comprehensible. He had the power to preserve it in the form that we can read it and understand it. Now, with those thoughts in mind, the fact that the Bible indeed can be understood, because it claims it can be, because God just commands it and His power assures it, I want you to think with me for a little while about the reasons for the crucifixion of Christ. And I believe that we can see that these reasons for His crucifixion also cause a rejection of God's truth today. Think with me, first of all, about prejudice. Our Lord Himself said that some would not understand. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 13 beginning, He said, "Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand." And here's the reason. "And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross," or dull, "impenetrable. And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Now, Jesus didn't say they could not, but they reached the point where they would not. He said it's a matter of will. If any man will do his will, he can know, Jesus said. They decided that they didn't want to. The heart had waxed gross. Their heart had hardened over to the point that they could not hear. Their ears were dull of hearing. They wouldn't hear, wouldn't listen. They closed their eyes so that they could not see, hear, and be converted, and be healed. This type of an attitude caused the religious Jews to reject our Lord. In John chapter 5, there verse 39, Jesus said, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Search the scriptures. Well, what scriptures is he talking about? They didn't have New Testament scriptures at that point in time. The only scriptures they had was Old Testament scriptures. "For in them," that is Old Testament scriptures, "you think you have eternal life, and they," that is Old Testament scripture, "are they which testify of me." Old Testament scripture was sufficient for them to understand about Jesus, who he was, why he came. But notice verse 40. "And ye will not come to me that you might have life." You see, it's a matter of will. It's a matter of want to. They were wanting to have their own way and not the way of the Lord. And that's the way people are in our society today. We want to do things our own way. You see, they saw the miracles of our Lord. They heard the parables. But in Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, Jesus said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wing, and ye would not." Notice that. "Ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, Blessed he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Till they change their minds. It has to be a change of heart, a change of mind in order to receive the Lord. The fault was not with Jesus, nor was it with the message that he taught. The fault was with the hearts and attitude of the hearers. You see, we must guard against trying to make the Bible prove what we want it to prove or to say. Paul would say in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning to verse 11, "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie." You understand that God will allow us to believe a lie. "That they might be damned." Who's the they? Well, he identifies them. "Who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." The ones who refuse to believe the truth, God will send them a strong delusion that they believe a lie. And that's the case with untold millions of people all over this world today. They will not believe the truth. As a result, they're going to be lost. Prejudice, having their minds already made up as to what they thought things would be and how they would be. They thought Jesus was going to come with great, as we would say today, with great pomp and circumstance. He would be announced. He would be heralded as the King of the Jews. But it didn't come like that. As a result of the fact that he didn't come like they thought he would, he didn't do what they thought he would do, they refused to accept it. Prejudice. And so it is today. People refuse to accept the scriptures because they don't teach what they think they ought to teach. One of the other problems, the things that caused the crucifixion of our Lord, was the traditions of men. The Jews rejected Jesus because he would not conform to their traditions. In Mark chapter 7, there verse 6, he answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, their heart is far from it. As we say today, sometimes they talk a good game. They said all the right things, but their heart wasn't right. He continues on, howbeit in vain do they worship me. Vain means empty or meaningless, having no value at all, being worthless. Teaching for doctrines, the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well, ye reject the commandment of God that ye may keep your own tradition. Bruce mentioned a few things about the Roman Catholic Church in our Bible class this morning. That religious group teaches that when a pope speaks, as they say, ex cathedra, that his words are really more binding than anything you can find in the Bible. What is that? That's tradition of men. That's the situation in our society today. Paul was at Romans chapter 10, beginning verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. That's the way a lot of people are today. They're very zealous for God. And they'll talk to you a lot about God. They'll talk to you about their religion, what they believe. But it's like Paul talked about regarding the Jews. It's not according to knowledge. He goes on to say, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Again, you see, this is a matter of will. They had not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They were submitting themselves unto teachings and doctrines, the traditions of men, and not the righteousness of God. This is what led to the crucifixion of our Lord. As we noted earlier, Jesus did not come like the Jews expected, in royal apparel with a great army and put down the Roman rule and establish his throne there in Jerusalem and there sit on David's throne and rule and reign from the city of Jerusalem and restore the Jews like they had been in days gone by. That's not what Jesus did, but that's what they expected him to do. I'm persuaded that many today are in error because of an inherited faith. That's what's wrong with the Jews. They had inherited their faith. Remember, Jesus said, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and there they would testify of me. If they had really searched the scriptures, if they had read and studied on their own, they could have known about Jesus. In fact, some did. They weren't doing that. They were following the traditions of men. Today, people are following human creeds, what men of past generations have taught concerning religion. These are the causes for not understanding the Bible alike. But understand the fault is not in the Bible. Because if we search the scriptures, we can know what the will of God is. And so, traditions of men play a role in the crucifixion of our Lord, and it's playing a role in the rejection of the Lord even today. As we talked in our Bible class this morning about false teachers, Jesus in Matthew chapter 15, verse 13, but he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall in the ditch. They were blind leaders of the blind. Jesus constantly was opposed by false teachers. And those false teachers who were opposing him had many hard questions that they put to our Lord, trying to turn away the multitudes from him. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 34, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together." Sadducees had already been there and posed a hard question. Jesus had put them to silence. Then one of the Pharisees, one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and said, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Well, they posed this question. As we say sometimes today, they built up a straw man in order to try to trap Jesus, trick him. But Jesus answered the question. He said to them, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." He answered their question. Back in chapter 21 of Matthew, he was come into the temple. The chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority doest thou these things, and who gave you this authority?" Now we just read where Jesus answered their question. But here, he doesn't answer their question, except with another question. He said to them, "I will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. You answer my question, then I'll answer yours. The baptism of John, which was it? From heaven or of men?" And they reasoned with themselves, saying, "If we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did you not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet." And they answered Jesus and said, "We cannot tell." They didn't say, "We don't know." "We can't tell." And he said to them, "Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things." They constantly posed questions they thought would trap Jesus, would trick him into saying something that they could use against him. This is still going on today. Multitudes are placing their confidence in men who are indeed false teachers. Paul will say in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers," that's ministers of Satan, the devil, "also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose ends shall be according to their works." Satan has followers, ministers, and they transform themselves into angels of light. They look well-dressed, they're well-manicured, they have beautiful speech, they are well-educated, and they sound totally believable. That's what Jesus said. They transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. No surprise. He said Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. The devil had the power one time to look like an angel of light. And today, though we don't see him visibly, Satan can appear to be an angel of light. He can appear to be teaching what's truth and right. And so can his ministers appear to be teaching what's truth and right. But remember what John said, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they're of God." And here's why you do that. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Many false prophets. A changed gospel. Paul said it is a perverted gospel. Galatians chapter 1, beginning there, verse 6. He said, "Our marvel, your soul says, remove from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed." He emphasizes the same thing again. Paul includes himself. "Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, let him be accursed." A changed gospel is a perverted gospel. It cannot save. There were false teachers in the time of our Lord that brought about his crucifixion. There are false teachers in our society today who are leading millions down the path to hell. Another reason was simply ignorance and unconcern. Had the Jews known that Jesus was the Son of God, Scripture says they wouldn't have crucified him. In Acts chapter 3, verse 17, "And now, brethren, I know that through ignorance ye did this, as did also your rulers." Through ignorance, they crucified our Lord. As Paul would write in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew." Now listen. "For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." They were ignorant. It wasn't that they had to be ignorant. Jesus told them, search the scriptures. "For in them you think you have eternal life." There they were testifying to me. You could know about me. It wasn't they couldn't know it. They didn't want to know it. Most people today have good hearts. But for the majority of people, they simply have not read, investigated, studied the Bible for themselves. That's the big problem we face in our society today. People have simply not read and considered what the scriptures actually say. We need to be like those Bereans that Paul talked about in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. He said, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind." That's a willingness to hear and understand. "And search the scripture daily whether those things were so." They received what was being taught, then they examined what was being taught in the light of scripture. And that's what we need to do today. That's what you need to do with what I teach in this pulpit, or what anybody else teaches anywhere else. You need to examine it in the light of scripture. It makes a difference what we believe. Remember we read from Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." And then Jesus goes on to say, many will say to me in that day, in judgment day. Here's what they say. "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And thy name cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works." Do you understand? These were religious people. These were people who thought they were doing right. But Jesus said, "I'll profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from you that work iniquity." We have to do our best to know what the will of the Lord is. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because I had rejected knowledge." Again, note the emphasis there. Well, they couldn't know. They chose not to know. They rejected knowledge. "I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." It's a matter of will, whether we really want to know. But these are things that cause the crucifixion of our Lord, and these are some of the same things that cause people not to understand the Bible today in the way that they ought to be understanding it. Obviously, there are many, many reasons that enter into the cause of the religious confusion in the world today. We don't have time to go into all the different reasons and different ideas that men promote that cause the religious confusion in the world today. But it is a failure to rightly divide the Word of God. That's what causes the rejection of our Lord. People are following their own opinions rather than the revealed Word of God. And for the most part, these can be carried back to the reasons for the crucifixion of our Lord. Prejudice, they've already made their mind up. Traditions of men, just doing what we've always done the way we've always done it. Listening to false teachers, doing what false teachers tell them to do, and simply ignorance, not knowing, and not caring. I think probably the vast majority of the religious world today, in fact the world at large, simply doesn't care. I believe that's what's going to cause a lot of people to be lost. They simply don't care what the truth is. Remember Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." If we'll just keep our attitude pure and sincerely search the scripture, we can know truth. And knowing the truth, we can save our soul. Remember John 7, verse 17. "If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. John 8 verse 32, you shall know the truth, the truth shall make you free. John 17 verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We can know the truth. And it is the truth that will make us free. Absolutely nothing else can make you free from sin except the truth of God's word. You can know it if you want to know it. It's been revealed so that we can know. But it takes action on our part. It takes a heart that really wants to know what God's will is, that intends to know, that will put in the time and the energy necessary to know what the will of the Lord is. It may be that there are those in this audience this morning that are not right with the Lord. If that is the case, you can become right with the Lord this very day. You can be born into the family of God by spiritual birth. If you believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God, willing to repent of your sins, confess your faith in Him, you can be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. The Lord adds you to His church, be a part of His family. If in this audience you've done that in days gone by, and yet you realize at some point in time you have allowed these things to slip, then you no longer have the kind of care and concern that you ought to have for truth and right. You can come back to the Lord, repenting of your sin, confessing them, and He's promised that He'll forgive you. You can be right with Him once again. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing for your encouragement.